Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. There's going to be a contest. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And here's a tremendous prophecy of the seed yet to come. That is through the seed of woman, and we know who that is. Now that seed, we pick up all the way through the Old Testament, particularly with reference to Abraham and Isaac. But it comes to a very beautiful conclusion with a New Testament commentary on just the identity of that seed is in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Question. Who's the seed? Answer. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as to one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So there's the identity of the seed. First identified by God in Genesis chapter 3, picked up later in the promise which God is making to Abraham. I will multiply thy seed. Now, the two other important words is a sanctified guesswork on my part. I want you to understand that. And yet, I've heard many students say the very same thing. Many scholars write the same thing. It is my opinion that if you look closely to this promise of the seed that is the Lord Jesus Christ, then what about the stars and the sand? I believe we're talking about two groups of things. One is God's earthly people, that's the sand, that's Israel. God's heavenly people, that's the stars, that's us, that's the church. There would be no church if it weren't for the sacrifice of the greater Isaac. There would be no redeemed Israel were it not for the sacrifice of the real Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is saying here, what is this? It's Mr. Usher says 1872 B.C., 1,872 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see this promise. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Prophecy that hasn't yet been fulfilled, but it is a promise. And it's yet going to happen when he returns to rule the earth with, as he said, a rod of iron. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Hasn't happened yet. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Verse 19, so Abraham returned to his young men. They rose up. Abraham said, where's Isaac? Where's Isaac? And returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Beersheba. Now, you got a Scofield Bible? Let's check this out. I'm just not sure about that. Let's look up Beersheba and see what it means. I think I know, but I want to be sure. Beersheba. Beersheba. If I'm right, that's a beautiful thing. He don't. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. It's the well of an oath. No. Beersheba. Yes, the well of the oath. In other words, this, in essence, is the well of the confirmation of the oath or the promise that has just been made to Isaac. So he went to live at Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass, now, okay, so there's the blessing. Now, here's something that you have to look for, but it is beautiful. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she's also born children unto thy brother Nahor. Well, so here we go with all these dull, uninteresting genealogies again. Aren't they dull? No, not at all. Sometimes they get to be rather exciting. And I'm telling you, there's something exciting in this one. You see, remember, we've got good things flowing out of the death of Isaac. And we've seen that blessing. And now, what's all this genealogy business about? Oh, hang in there. It's there. Huz, his firstborn. Buz, his brother. Kemuel, the father of Aram. And Chesed. Hazo. And Pildash. Jedalath. Bethuel. Bethuel begat Rebekah. And these eight, Milcah, did bear to Nahor, Abram's brother. Wait a minute. Back up. Rebecca, where have we heard her name before? Who is this Rebecca? Buried in there, all these names that don't mean anything to us. There's this little glimmer. It's something that is very exciting because we know who she is, and we know who she is by type. You see, when Enoch walked with God and he was not, that doesn't take many words in the Word of God, but it's terribly exciting because it's just a little glimmer of something that we know that we're going to be involved in. So here, flowing out of that blessing, the flowing out of that death of the greater Isaac is this tremendous blessing. And now we get a little hint here, a couple thousand years, about this very special person named Rebecca. Are we coming on time? Well, let's... Let's hang on to that then, because it is seven. But you see, in verse 23, we heard some very lovely things about the bride for Isaac this morning. Very lovely, because this trusted servant goes and then prays. He literally prays his way there and prays that lady to come and meet him at the well. And it's just a beautiful story. And I know we're going to continue with that later. Well, so this evening we've seen the boy, Isaac, whose name is Laughter. We've seen his birth and how that relates to the birth of the Lord Jesus. Mention only of his death, which is a perfect picture, one of the beautiful pictures of the death of the Lord Jesus. And an early mention of the family of the bride. Father, we thank you for being with us as we've enjoyed these moments together around the person of the Lord Jesus and the Word of God. And now would you dismiss us and go with us and protect us and make us more effective witnesses and servants for the Lord Jesus in these latter days before his soon return. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
These odds. Help us to be odds of eight of those 333 prophecies if they were fulfilled. It would be 10 to the 17th power. 1 to the set. That would be 1 to millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, 10 trillion. And that's only 8. But he fulfilled all 333. It would stagger the imagination how many zeros would be added on behind the 10. He might not be able to count all those zeros. And yet he fulfilled them all. Who was he then? He was but one person. Very God. The Alpha and Omega. And then we find in Philippians 2:8-9, just three verses. Or is it 9? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present himself a glorious to himself. Mind you, to himself. God the Father isn't presenting it. God the Son is presenting it to the church, to himself. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's how you and I should be. And that's a picture of Isaac. And Abraham was making plans for his son. And these plans included a bride. And that bride would not be tainted with the things of the world. The outside world, anyway. And this is just humanly speaking. Let's stop and think of in our own minds. How many times before we came here this morning, if God did not forgive sin or iniquity, how many times were we out of line? And all it takes is a foolish thought. Foolishness is sin in God's eye. Let alone a moment of anger. Unless it's righteous anger, and I don't see us finding that too often. We have to admit we're pretty poor. And yet, when we become part of that bride, what does it say? We're going to be spotless. There won't be any blemishes. Like most here today have either got the sniffles, or they just got over the sniffles, or they've got aches or pains. By the way, there won't be that either. We go down to verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Now this would apply to you and me. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And brothers and sisters, that doesn't just mean marriage. That means business as well. Any number of times I could have had partners, maybe done real well in business. But sooner or later, their principle and your principles are going to cross. I think Maddie made mention of that one time we were trying to decide on Sunday school lessons, and some of these others, they're very good, they're excellent. But Maddie said, stick with, at that time it was Folio Press, Uplook Ministries now. Sooner or later, the other one's principles will show up and they will cross with the principles of the brethren. To go on, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And many times we forget that. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now that doesn't mean we go out of the world. That doesn't mean we don't come in contact with the lost. We'd never be able to lead them to the Lord. But don't make a practice of being buddy-buddy with them and palsing around with them. If we're going to pal around with anyone, we should be palling around with brothers and sisters in the Lord. That way we encourage and strengthen one another. There was a dear Scotchman was telling the tale. I was home on leave, Niagara Falls, back in 51, 52, something like that. And this young man came to him about getting married. He was a great big strapping young man, big powerful boy. And the girl he was marrying was just a little bitty girl. But she wasn't saved. And his idea was that he could be used to lead her to the Lord once they got married. Brother Stewart asked him to step up on the table. He got up on the table. He said, now, young man, he's, and he was, Mr. Stewart wasn't, I guess he was average-sized man. He says, "No, lift me up on the table." He couldn't do it. Mr. Stewart gave a quick tug, and you know what happened? The young man was on the floor with him. That little girl would pull him down quicker than he'd ever pull her up. That is just the way things are. Now, you can be used to bring them under the sound of the gospel, but don't start dating them. I had a sister that got fooled into that one time, and she paid a long time before he was finally won to the Lord. She paid a price, a lot of heartache. She could take verses that you or I could use to show her she was wrong, and she could show you how she was right from the same verses. In fact, she was president of the Christian Nurses Association in Buffalo. It isn't anything to play with. The moth that flits around the flame of a candle will sooner or later get burned. Then Matthew, along the same line, 22 and 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son. And what was that? What was that? His son was what? The grand object. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is to the Father. He's the grand object. Let's see if I haven't turned the wrong page and got all mixed up. And there was a price, the price of the bride. Now, a lot of these verses are quoted many times. We quote them in the morning meeting, particularly 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. But the price was paid. We see the picture in Isaac. Wasn't he on the altar? He was as good as dead. If it hadn't been for the angel speaking to him, or the Lord speaking to him, and the sheep or the ram being caught by his horns, and by the way, the horns speak of power. The Lord Jesus Christ was caught by his power. Only the all-powerful could pay for your sin and my sin. Now over in verse 7. And the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke unto me and who swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from there. In Numbers 23:19, God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not make it good? Hath he spoken, and shall he not do it? God has no reason to lie. When he says something, that's it. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Doesn't matter what these so-called men of higher learning try to tell us. We read God's word. We take what God says to us, not what those men tell us. We find this every day in our everyday life, don't we? We see these politicians, they get up and they give a big speech. Then what happens? For an hour or two afterwards, you have four or five men across the country trying to tell us what the guy said. Rather ridiculous for you to listen to the guy then, wouldn't it? In other words, these men that are trying to tell you what they said are assuming that you have no intelligence of your own. And don't let anybody fool you. The news media, even to the newspapers, practices propaganda. But in the case with the Lord, there is no such thing. It's truth. Now to verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. What was this telling us? The wealth of the master, but it was also telling you that the servant had that wealth in his hands. He had the right to dispose of it as he saw fit on behalf of the master.
We might better look at these. This was just too much to write down. I'd have a book up here. Matthew 16. And I'll tell you this, I'm not ashamed of using the Word of God rather than my own words. Matthew 15, 1 through 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much or more fruit. Now, we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, being no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And by the way, many times we're very heartbroken when we try to minister to people the Word of God. One-on-one loved ones, we're trying to lead them to the Lord, and we see no evidence of it having any effect. It'd be the same difference if we go out here to the cemetery and preach. Because we're doing what? We're speaking to zombies. The living dead. That's what they are. You and I, before we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were literally zombies. We were alive, but spiritually we were dead. The Lord said time and time again, three times in the third chapter of John, ye must be born again. That means that evidently you were dead. Verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. In this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, and the Lord and the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And wasn't that the case of the servant here? He knew what Abraham's plans were. In like manner, you and I. In the 14th chapter of the same book, John 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And one more portion, chapter 15 again, verse 26, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Yes, and you and I have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. And so many times we hear, well, I wouldn't have the strength to do it. Well, those dear brothers or sisters that went through some of these things, if they were told of something like that beforehand, they could probably say the same thing. But the Lord give us strength. As the day, as it's needed, in other words, he gives us the strength. And then verses in Genesis 24, verses 12 through 14. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of waters, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camel a drink also. Let her be that one whom thou hast appointed for my servant, thy servant Isaac. Therefore shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my servant. We might note the reverence shown in the prayer. We know the definity of the prayer. It wasn't something just in general. It wasn't a general prayer. And the brevity. We don't have to pray all night. Now, there are times when we're praying for a lot of people. That's something else. But prayer doesn't have to be a long, prolonged thing. Now, we find here this portion that the servant had asked. You know, it was mentioned three times over. In this. Now, I don't know how you might bring that out, but it could speak of Trinity. It could speak of the 3 days in the grave. It could also speak of the threefold cord that is not easily broken. All scriptural. And possibly many more. A few verses that would go along with that. Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is always ahead of us anyway when it comes to our prayer. Now, he may give it to us immediately. He may not give it to us at all. That isn't the better for us. And then it might be, wait, this isn't the time. And then in Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So even in our prayers, humble that they might be, the Holy Spirit takes and adds his sweet perfume to it. Now in verse 15, chapter 24. And it came to pass, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Melcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her with her pitcher upon her shoulders. The verse that would be put to that in Isaiah 56:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God knows all about it before we ask. We think of these. It amazes me in the garden when those men came to, well, it was a rabble, they were blinded. And the Lord said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. They fell back like dead men. I sort of had the feeling if I was there and a man spoke two words and we're all flat on the ground, I would have been departing personally. But those men were driven by satanic forces. When a man can just say two words and you're flat on your back, and that included, can't think of his name now, betrayer, Judas, he was with him, and he should have known better. Another verse that goes with that is Psalms 91, 14 through 16. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now down in verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. The damsel was very fair to look upon. What did we read earlier about the church? The bride of Christ. Going to be spotless. Going to be perfect. And it will be beautiful. And we're all part of that. Now, normally we think the body's made up of so many members. Arms, legs, head, neck, trunk of the body, so on and so forth. But brothers and sisters, what about the cells? See? And our body is made up of at least a billion or more cells. That's the picture of the body of Christ. We will be part of that body in all of its perfection. Now the verse that I've got with that is Ephesians 5. We've been over it before. Husband, part of it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What are they washed by? The word. Well, Roy Reams used to say lots of times he heard some of these great messages. He said, I couldn't take it all in, but at least to clean the basket. See? And the word of God will do that. It'll at least clean the basket, whether we retain it all or not. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Down to verse 27. Time's about gone. We won't finish. I know that. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. A few verses that will go with that, and then we'll have to close. Maybe another time we'll go beyond this. Psalm 32 and 8. Many times I think of this. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go.